The world of marine science is mourning one of its own. Ruth Gates lost her battle with brain cancer last week. She was the director of the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology at Coconut Island and was a champion of coral reefs. She appeared on The Conversation last spring, talking about the need to take drastic action to protect our reefs.
What I'm stunned by is that we do have a lot of science that tells us what the answer is. We know that if we don't mitigate the incredible amount of CO2 in our atmosphere, our planetary system will change radically and in ways that we cannot really predict. The science is firm. There's no discussion. What stuns me is that we can understand how the problem has arisen and what we can do about it, but we're not actually doing anything about it. And, you know, I sometimes analogize to, we know obesity, for example, is killing people, and that this is a deeply emotional topic for the person who's dying. And yet many people will continue to eat really poorly, even when they are overweight, and they know what the end point is, but somehow are unable to stop. Right. So that's an emotional connection that just doesn't seem to be working. And often people will say, Ruth, if you could just connect people effectively to these ecosystems, to coral reefs, they will care more about them. And the question is, will they? Everybody who cares about reefs needs to talk about them from their perspective, from the traditional knowledge holders to these politicians who are advocating the position and importance of reefs for place. And here in Hawaii, for our place. Reefs are intimately interconnected with us, our health, and our future. So the reality is this conversation has to be kept alive, and we have to say the things that feel uncomfortable. We might see the death of all or the majority of the world's reefs in the next 30 years, in our lifetime. Even the science community is struggling with the enormity of accepting that emotionally disturbing fact. But that is the truth. That's what the evidence tells.
Now, Gates remained hopeful that scientists across the globe would push ahead to advocate for change.
Let's forget about who's right or wrong. Let's just think about what we want to do from here to affect our future. You know, this blaming is not getting us anywhere. The reality is what we need to do is all get together and say from this point forward, we will behave in a certain way and we will attempt to improve the prognosis for reefs by doing everything in our power to do it. You know, really, that's what it comes down to for me. You know, to be honest, academic scientists tend to compete with one another all the time to do the same thing more quickly. Well, I think what I see is the problem on reefs is causing our community, the reef community, science community, to come together and think much more holistically about how we operate and how we generate new knowledge that can affect an impact on the future. And that is exciting for me because I'm a highly collaborative scientist myself. I see incredible value of convening different perspectives that will ultimately add up to something much larger than any one scientist could do. And I think that that's an opportunity. We see that magnify with the March for Science. We see that knowledge itself and evidence itself is under attack. And people are coming together to defend that position and to advance the agenda in more entrepreneurial ways. And I think that's very, very exciting.
And Honolulu Civil Beat reporter Nathan Eagle has an online story about Ruth Gates. He's on the line with us this morning. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, so I saw in your story that you were recalling the day that you were doing the interview with her and she was taking you around on Coconut Island on the golf cart.
Yeah, so I got there and I actually experienced something that a lot of the scientists told me about yesterday when I had the unfortunate task of interviewing for this story today. And that's that I would, first probably hear her big booming laugh. And they were absolutely right. It's the first thing I heard. And next thing I know, they're saying, oh, yeah, there's Ruth. She's coming along. And sure enough, we out there when she took me around, we cruised around in her golf cart as she had taken other reporters and other politicians, other people around to explain all the work that she's been doing with corals, the groundbreaking kind of stuff.
And she got some big grant to do research on super corals.
She did. She got $4 million from the late Paul Allen, the Microsoft billionaire. And she and another scientist in Australia have been working on developing these super corals, making them more resilient to the things that are threatening them so much. Warmer waters, more acidic waters, polluted waters. And so she was doing different assisted evolution kind of ideas with the coral and just all in all trying to make them more resilient in a time that we need that.
And she was, what, 3 or 4 years into this, was it a 5-year project?
Yeah, she was, I think, in year 4 of 5, and still leaving a lot to be done, some interesting signs that some of that might actually work. And her team has told me that they plan to continue that work.
And I know it was very sad with the passing of Paul Allen, too. I mean, obviously very passionate about the health of our oceans and our coral reef, and was there to back it up, to back up Ruth Gates's research.
That's right. I mean, with Paul dying and then Ruth in about a 2-week period, there's obviously a lot of questions out there. But I received nothing but assurances in talking to the scientists and those that are at least acting directors at the moment. And there's just this kind of army of young and up-and-coming researchers there that are ready, willing, and able to continue the work that she started.
And I know this whole idea of super corals, it's a controversial one.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, it's, you know, how much do we get involved in the natural process? Ruth says it was a no-brainer. You know, we've already kind of affected that so much. Corals, you know, having been around for 200-some million years, they hadn't dealt with humans very long at all. So she said, you know what, we have to do this if we want a chance at saving it. She often pointed out that, you know, 500 million people in the world depend on coral for food, their economies, medicine, coastal protection, and yet half the world's corals have been lost in the past 30 years or so. So it wasn't as controversial for her, but certainly was for others.
Right. And I know, again, it's still kind of shocking news with her illness coming so fast. I believe she was supposed to appear on one of our shows and was unable because of her illness. But very sad loss, very big loss to the marine community.
It's an enormous loss. I mean, it was just one kind of phrase after another, an indomitable spirit, a shining light. It was just a person who exuded optimism in the face of so much pessimism. So an enormous loss.
I know in talking with some of the scientists, they said they still don't have things firmed up yet about any kind of memorial service, which I'm assuming, well, there will be something there on Coconut Island.
I'd assume there'll be probably not just one, but multiple memorials and possibly awards and things like that that will be coming after the fact, some of the scientists have told me, but all that's still being worked out.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Nathan.
My pleasure.
That was reporter Nathan Eagle with today's Reality Check. To read his full story on the loss of Ruth Gates to the science community, visit civilbeat.org.